current with little ability to see where we were going. As we drifted towards the bank, a bull moose rose from the tall grasses, exactly where we had planned to come ashore. He was as dark as the night. We could see him only because he was silhouetted against the sky, jagged mountains behind. He was huge. He was gorgeous. He was in the way, blocking the only exit we had. More people are killed in national parks by moose than by any other animal. 1,700 pounds of muscle and antlers, remarkable speed, and total unpredictability make them dangerous indeed. It would take about 2 seconds for him to hit the water running and capsize our canoe. We could not pass. The mood changed. John and I were worried now. There was only one alternative to this way out, now closed to us, and that was paddling back upriver in what had become total darkness. John must steer with skill. I must paddle with strength. One mistake on our part, and the strong current would force the canoe broadside, fill it, and sweep our boys off downriver into the night. It was glorious. We did it. He did. I did. We rose to the challenge working together, and the fact that it required all of me, that I was in it with my family and for my family, that I was surrounded by wild, shimmering beauty, and it was, well, kind of dangerous, made the time transcendent. I was no longer Stacy. I was Sacagawea, Indian princess of the West, a valiant and strong woman. A woman's journey. I'm trying to remember when I first knew in my heart that I was no longer a girl, but had become a woman. Was it when I graduated from high school or college? Did I know it when I married? When I became a mother? I am 45 years old as I write this, but there remain places in my heart that feel still so very young. As I think back on what would be considered rites of passage in my life, I understand why my journey has felt so unguided, uncertain. Like so many other women, I was left alone to navigate my way through adolescence, through my changing and awakening body, a picture of my changing and awakening heart. No counsel was given for the journey into womanhood. I was encouraged, however, to eat less. My father pulled me aside and told me, "No boy will love you if you're fat." I joined the feminist movement in college, searching, as so many women did in the 70s, for a sense of self. I actually became director of the Women's Rescue Center at a liberal state university in California. But no matter how much I asserted my strength and independence as a woman, hear me roar, my heart as a woman remained empty. And as for romance, I stumbled through that mysterious terrain with only movies and music as a guide. Like so many women I know, I struggled alone through the mess of several broken hearts. My last year in college, I fell in love for real, and this young man truly loved me back. John and I dated for 2.5 years and then became engaged. As we made wedding plans, my mother gave me a rare bit of counsel, in this case, her marriage advice. It was twofold. First, love flies out the window when there's no pork chop on the table. And second, always keep your kitchen floor clean. It makes the whole house look better. I caught her drift, namely that my new position as wife centered in the kitchen, making the pork chops and cleaning up after them. No matter that I hadn't cooked but 5 meals in my entire life, I set about preparing dinners, breakfasts even, with determination and zeal. After 2 weeks of this, I lay on the couch despondent, announcing that I didn't know what was for dinner and that John was on his own. Besides, the kitchen floor was dirty. I had failed. The church had been part of the problem. Its message to women had been primarily, you are here to serve. That's why God created you, to serve. In the nursery, in the kitchen, on the various committees, in your home, in your community. Seriously now, picture the women we hold up as models of femininity in the church. They are sweet. They are helpful. Their hair is coiffed. They are busy. They are disciplined. They are composed. And they are tired. Think about the women you meet at church. They're trying to live up to some model of femininity. What do they teach you about being a woman? What are they saying to us through their lives? Like we said, you'd have to conclude that a godly woman is tired and guilty.